Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for your midweek motivator with CB and the boys. With your hosts, Crystal CB Booker, and the boys, George Biker Boy Hallman, Roger Hawkins, and J. Lee Ducey Man Thomas. Get set for music, motivation, conversation, and fun. Now here's CB and the boys.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to CB and the Boys. I am CB, your hostess with the mostess, and I got my boys in the building. Mr. George, Biker Boy Hallman, and Roger Hawkins hasn't joined us yet, but we look forward to seeing him in the studio later on. But you just got me and George holding it down, and J. Lee Ducey Man Thomas hasn't made it into the studio yet. So we are hoping for J. Lee to be able to join us tonight as well. So, oh, there we go. We have Mr. Roger Hawkins in the building. Hey, Rod.
What's going on with it?
What's up, what's up?
What's going on?
Same old.
Keep it a peepy.
Well, before we begin, I want to wish Luther Vandross a happy heavenly birthday. This is Vandross's birthday. So, there will never be another voice like him ever.
No, never. That was Luther. You got to say L-O-O. F-A-H, though. You can't say Luther. Lufa.
Lufa.
It got to be Lufa. But, yeah, matter of fact, we got to do some of that. We're about to definitely have a tribute later.
We definitely will, without a doubt. without a doubt. So how has your week been?
Busy. I mean, you know me, same old, same old. I'm busy, busy, which is a good thing. But, yeah, you already know what the world is buzzing about. So,
most definitely. So, based on that, I want to, you know, say congratulations to everyone that this case has touched. We did get a victory yesterday, which was long overdue. Definitely long overdue. Long.
So how do you tell me how you feel about that, you know, the whole in its entirety? I know you say we got a victory, but what does that make you feel? Where do you think it goes from here? How does it make you feel in respect of just walking down the street and being?
Well, I think that every journey starts with the first step. And I think that this is definitely just the first step. Yes, it's long overdue for the simple fact that it's never happened before. You know, we finally got some type of, I won't say justice, but accountability, whereas this person was found guilty, a police officer who was definitely guilty. We knew he was guilty. To me, it was an open and shut case. Why we had to go to trial, I had no idea, because, I mean, the whole world saw what he did. And hats off to the young lady who filmed it. That was very brave of her, because I know she probably got backlash from, you know, extremists and white supremacists and all this stuff. But she was very brave, and I commend her for what she did, because if not for her, this would not have happened. I mean, it just wouldn't. And that's what sets a lot of things apart now. It's like, we know that racism is there. We know it's always been there. We know that it always will be. But the difference of it now is it's being filmed. And the hoods are coming off. They're being unmasked involuntarily. But they're still being unmasked. We know who they are. We don't know who they all are. but we know who they are. We know at least a good number of them. And we're fighting back, something that we haven't done. And it's, so I can't really celebrate and say it's a victory and that we got justice. I can only say that we, this person was held accountable for his crime, and it was a crime, it was a hate crime, and he was held accountable for it. And to me, that was something that I've been long overdue, and I am very glad, you know, that it happened, you know, that we finally got the justice that we, you know, so richly deserve. And yeah, so I'm happy about it. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy, but I'm not going to rejoice because I do know that, you know, this is just the first step in what is going to be a long, long, probably long, drawn out process. We're hoping that, you know, we can hold more accountable. It would be great. Whether it happens, who knows? But I'm going to still, you know, be happy with the outcome of yesterday, and I look at it as a first step. And like I said, you know, previously, every journey starts with a first step. So this is still a journey, and we've got a long way to go, but it is a first step. It is a first step.
Well, fair enough. It's interesting because I look at it probably, obviously, me being me, just a tad bit differently. Yes. You know what you do? You have to have the trailblazing event. That being said, unfortunately, it always falls on one particular individual or one particular situation to shed light, more light, even though it's probably been going on forever. We know that it's being, like you said, it's being recorded. It's being shown.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be extra backlash now because a good friend of mine and I were talking today, and we were discussing how that young lady was very bold in what she did recording. And I only say that because I really can't stand the fact that's all people do is whip out cameras. But her particular video, like you said, made all the difference in the world in the outcome and what happened. Even though, yes, they recorded Rodney getting his ass whipped years ago, it was a little different now. It was
true.
On display for the whole world. But here's the killer. Why was it that she was getting death threats and all that from her own people? See, that's what really broke me up. I mean, you know, people are, you know.
I wasn't aware of that. Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, well, because some people were saying not so much death threats as maybe that she deserved to have something done or whatever because she herself didn't chime in or jump in and do whatever. But, you know, I would just
what
like to say.
What was she supposed to do against police officers?
Exactly, exactly.
What?
Well, but, you know, we got a bunch of, we got a nation full.
What did people expect her to do?
Well, guess what? Our people, your people talk a lot of shit. People are quick to say, if that was me, I would. See, everyone's quick to say what they would do. I'll guarantee you 99.9% of this.
That's just what it is. It's shit possible. But
these are the people.
Nobody.
That's right. And they are the ones who said, why was she recording instead of doing X, Y, Z? Everybody says that. But the thing is, nobody wants to make their life decision because that's exactly what you're doing. And I'm no different in that all I can say is, oh, my God, I'm glad that wasn't my child or my brother or my whatever, because you have to say to yourself, what would I do? That really is a life decision that you have to make. And so because of that, I felt bad. I think now she's being heralded a little more with a little more of the accolades that she should get because her video did do that, but she's 17. And you get put in that position. But, again, my thing is this. I want to say to all the people talking shit to her, where were you guys? And I know some people weren't there. But what about the ones who were there yelling right alongside talking shit? See, those are the ones that make me mad. Look, if one person's recording, guess what? All the rest of you can do something, and no one did. So everyone is every bit as guilty as they want to make her out to be. She actually has something that changed the course of history. Her video is actually going to be historical. It will be in the books now, because without that footage, you know, a lot of this just couldn't have been possible. And again, you are torn. But I just want to say to people, quit running your damn mouth when it's not you. It's easy to say what you would do. And you know, we are from the I wish a motherfucker would try. The problem is you really don't. You really don't. I promise you don't. Because
right.
My thought process is, if that was my son or my brother or whatever, my thought process is, man, my life is probably about to end too, because I have to make a move. And unfortunately, no one wants to be faced with not going home. So for all the armchair quarterbacks and hecklers and shit talkers, shut up. Just like the young lady that got killed yesterday, an hour before the verdict in racist-ass Ohio. Same thing. Everybody's got their take on it. Oh, yeah. You didn't see that? Come on.
I haven't heard that. What happened?
15-year-old girl called the police because she was afraid, in theory, because there were girls that wanted to jump her outside of her home. Now, I know there's more to the story, but long story short, she went outside, had a knife in her hand, which I don't understand any of that, but she went outside with a knife in her hand. The cop plugged her 4 times in the chest immediately. No thought process, no anything. He dropped her right there. A lot of people watched it. And so here's the deal. I get the outrage and the things like that because, I mean, and the cop can be heard on film saying, now Blue Lives Matters, after the young lady hit the ground and stopped breathing. So
That's where that came from.
Exactly. And another guy was just killed today in North Carolina, just today. So you have to understand, this isn't going anywhere. It's only going to elevate, you know, it'll only get worse. It's going to get darker before it becomes dawn, and that is the scary part about it. So I don't. That's why I say I don't know. You know, it does take that. Again, no revolution has ever been fought, performed, you know, run about without severe casualties. It's just going to happen. There's no major change goes without, you know, its fair share of collateral damage and casualty. And again, I just feel like this is that entrance into another civil unrest. I don't want to call it a war, but you get what I'm saying. People are picking sides, and we don't have a lot of folks on our team at the moment. I just feel like now it's always been open season, but now it's going to be defiantly open season. And until you have the right groups that come together with us and the right amount of people taking action, whatever that action may be, we're going to continue every single day, every day. I don't think a day will go by, which is scary, because you eventually have to catch up to someone you know. There's not a day that's going to go by that we're not going to hear or read or see, you know, these videos and shit like that. Because guess what? Body cams don't mean anything to them. They figure they can get off. This may deter some of that, though. You know, I got to shout out Kev on stage for laughing when he said, you know, Chauvin's face. Yeah, he had that, but I'm white face when they read the conviction, which it was funny, but you get it. You know, it's not a funny subject, but he did. He had that look like, wait a minute, I'm white.
Right.
Wow.
I was happy to see that, but here's what I'm going to tell people.
Don't get rocked to sleep. Because the thing is, oftentimes this is done. They'll throw you a bone, us. They'll throw us a bone, and we'll be content. Oh, look, this happened. And then while we're over here celebrating and enjoying this, it's the old bait and switch. We don't see this hand over here with a whole lot of other stuff going on. So we have to be more awake. Yeah. We have to be more vigilant and just being mindful of what's going on. Because I'm sorry, like, I'm not going to rest easy. Hell, I'm going to sleep a little more concerned, if you will, just because, you know, I know they're not happy about that. You could be 99-1. They're mad about that one L. You know, that's how they feel. And then when you've got, you know, people that don't understand, and most of the people I find that don't understand, tend to be white, former military, former cops. Because guess what? You know, there's that fraternity, you know, that secret or whatever. I'm not saying all, because I know quite a few that are definitely on the straight and narrow, but too many times I see commentary that shows that they don't understand and don't care, and all they care about is, you know what, if you're on this particular side of that that line, you're right. No matter what you do, you're right because you're behind the badge. You're right because you took the oath. And it's people like that we need to get out because they don't really care about right or truth or moral or anything. They just care, hey, you know what? You know, I got the best hand in spades. I'm about to run a Boston on your ass. And that's what's scary. Yeah, so I just that part concerns me. It's people's mind and thought process about the whole thing. It really does.
Well, I have a question. So when the cop killed the girl yesterday, has she been fired, put on leave? What? I mean, what have they done thus far, do you know?
At the moment, I can't say. I don't know. I haven't kept up. I've been, you know, working all day. I don't know. But it still stands to reason. All you have to do, kill somebody black, and you'll go on paid vacation. That's it. If eventually they let you go and all that, it's like, sure. But the point has been made, and, you know, it's already been set up so that people see they don't really fear doing it. And, again, I feel like they're going to look at Chauvin as, you know what, We had to have a sacrificial lamb. Why not this guy? Do I think it's going to scare people into not doing it? Clearly not, because it happened yesterday. I'm reading about a gentleman that just got killed today in Carolina. Did it stop anything? No. If anything, it made them madder. It's just like if, you know, if you're messing around or playing with, you know, if you get smacked up or hit by somebody that you know you can kind of whoop up, it's not going to make you turn and go, okay, I respect this. It's going to make you madder because how dare you sneak in? You actually got a punch on me. That's how they feel about us. We're like the little fly buzzing, and we snuck in a punch on them by getting that win. Now they're going to hit harder, you know. And I don't know, you know, I really don't know what the answer is in terms of combating that without it being, you know, brutal. And that's really the truth. But, you know, it's, I don't know, I just think the dialogue, again, like I look at Vegas in particular, the opinions vary. I can speak from experience. I've met a few. But honestly, I think really it's kind of about how you conduct yourself. Not always, because guess what? Sometimes it doesn't matter. When you're determined, you're determined. And we completely... I mean, we strike fear immediately in non-people of color, non-black people. We just do. And so it's kind of our job, unfortunately, to have to defuse that bomb before it ever goes off. I find that I can be next to two sizable officers, and they're more nervous or worried about what I'm going to do or what I'm going to say than I ever would be about them. And so knowing that, I found myself having to get very paternal on them and smooth things over. Once you relax, they relax. Once you're calm, they're calm, as a rule. Again, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but I'm speaking from quite a bit of experience. I know there are times when we are angry. I know there are times when things are unjust, and young people are hot-blooded. So they pop off, they use their freedom of speech, they say what they want to say. There's a time and a place for everything. Age kind of equates to wisdom. If you experience the right things, you have to know when to do that. And unfortunately, we don't get nearly as much leeway as, say, an irate good old boy or a young white, you know, college kid or something like that. They can damn near run the cop over with the truck and he'll apologize. We sneeze the wrong way, it's over. It is what it is. Yeah, yeah. So do I like it? No, but...
I think that's the frustrating thing about it is that, you know, everyone thinks that it's all copacetic and it's all good, but it's not. And to be honest, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer here, but I just don't see an end in sight. I really don't. First, I watched this documentary called The Termination of a Civilization, something like that. It was on HBO.
I heard about it. I know what you're talking about. I've heard about it. Yeah.
It's very, very, very good and very well put together. And I learned so much. Being that I'm basically, you know me, I'm sheltered, spoiled brat, not a lot to change. But, you know, going to private schools my entire life, I went to Catholic schools my whole life. And I really noticed them. Yeah, well, because I don't know anything. I don't know anything about Black history. We only studied the regulars, Harriet Tubman, Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass, you know, just the regulars. But there are so many others that contributed to our history. You know, there are Latinists that contribute to our history. So it's just, it's so much. You know, all races really have contributed to our history. But you don't learn about that. You don't hear about that. You know, we didn't even learn about the Holocaust when I was in school, which was crazy. I think we touched upon it, but it was like it never happened. And how people are trying to, you know, push that narrative now that it never happened is just mind-boggling and mind-blowing, you know.
Well, if you go to a school or something like that where they, you know, say if you went to a Jewish school, you know, again, just like when you went to a Catholic school, you learned about all types of patron saints and things like that that none of us have a clue about because we're not Catholic. Same thing, you may have had whatever
type
of study.
But I'm not Catholic
either. But you went to that institution, which means they, the ones that started it, are, so that they teach their narrative. If you went to an African studies school, guess what you're going to learn? African history. Same thing with Latin, anything like that. So, again, it's really who's driving the bus that determines your destination. And I get what you're saying because, yeah, you're right. Everybody has a say-so in everything pretty much but us. But everything has been stolen from us. It's like they want all the pieces of the, but not the whole vehicle. So that part is frustrating. You know,
this documentary, it just makes you angry. And watching movies like Roots and 12 Years a Slave and all those that, even Django, I mean, really, it just, it pisses you off because everything was taken. No one came here voluntarily, you know? Nobody said, you know, I want to be slave. What? Yeah, take me to it. No one voluntarily did that. Everything was done against their will. But one thing about this documentary that really kind of flipped it is that instead of the slaves being black in the documentary reenactment, they had white actors be slaves. And they were treating them the exact same way that the slaves, that the black slaves were treated. And it was just, you know, it was so weird to see that. And the black actors were portraying the slave owners and the slave catchers and the what do they call them, the monitors or whatever. And, you know, and it was just, it was interesting to see it, you know, the script flip and the roles different, where you're seeing white people enslaved instead of black people enslaved, and the blacks are in charge and the whites are enslaved. And it's just like, whoa.
You know, they were looking like, man, that fiction's good because that's shit happening. But at the same time, I'm trying to figure out who signed up for that. I mean, I guess kudos to the white people that wanted to truly understand and kind of experience it. But, again, you can still clock out and go, okay, director, cut. I've had enough of that. But, again, it's a small step. I've heard nothing but good stuff about it. So,
you know, like that when Kanye made that asinine statement that it was a choice. Like, Snoop did that. You know, we are clocking in and out. It's like, man, I'm tired. Dang, I think I'm going to stay home.
Yeah, we don't, certain people, you just, I don't waste space in my mind remembering or even talking about because, yeah, no thanks. But, you know, that guy, slave mentality. So, nevertheless, I've heard good things about it, though, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I've absolutely heard good things about
good.
It.
Yeah, yeah, everyone, I think everyone needs to watch that because it just, and it doesn't just talk about, you know, the black struggle, but it talks about the Latin struggle, the Asian struggle. Like, everyone who has been oppressed by white people, it talks about their struggle. And this one thing is, like, it's just the settlers, the founding fathers, they all stole. Like, how can you find a land that's already inhabited? That's like if I come to your house and I just move in and say, this is my house. But
they call them squatters.
You already live there.
That's right.
They call them squatters.
But guess what? Guess what? If you kill the homeowner, a dead man tells no tales. Guess what? It's your house now. See, they didn't just come in and say, oh, don't worry about it. We'll tell the story. You have to eradicate the original individuals, and then you can make up whatever you want. You can make up whatever you want. So there's that. So I don't think it was done. Like, they didn't give it lovingly. It just it was kind of like that's the
and that's basically what happened to the Indians when they came over. They killed all the Indians. And, well, as people started coming over, they was like, hey, they came in here and they started to fight and they did. They was trying to take our shit.
Yeah.
But the fact is,
well,
he was taking
off on them.
The Indian shit.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, this documentary was very graphic. The reenactments were very graphic and very, very, it seems to me, very accurate. And it was just, like, mind-blowing, you know, just the cinematography.
It was probably actually toned down. Some of the things that have been discovered, like some of the readings and things like that, I'll guarantee you was toned down. They couldn't even get it shown if you actually saw half of what really the kind of torturous activities that went on. I'll guarantee you. I mean, it was still a fitting, you know, some fitting description of it, but from the things I've read and other people have kind of uncovered, just unbelievable, inhumane things were done, you know, all kinds of torture, you know. So, like, stuff like that, yeah, I know what happened. I don't need to be reminded. It's just too much.
Well,
no thanks.
If you just joined us, you're listening to CB and the boys. I'm CB, and I got my boys, Roger Hawkins, George Holman, and Daily D. Schmidt-Thompson, not joining us in the studio this week, and it was like, probably won't. So we can hope for next week. But if you're listening to us on YouTube, hello and welcome. And we come to you every Wednesday for your Midweek Motivation. If you're listening to us on Facebook as well, so hello to all of those that are watching us.
Right.
And
there.
Hello to everyone.
Click
the
button right there. Subscribe. Click the button right there. If you're on YouTube,
yes.
The little on-air button,
like,
right
what
there.
What the hell?
Click the button. Subscribe. We need subscribers. Come on.
What the hell is George doing?
Yes.
All
right. If you're watching us on YouTube, click that button. Subscribe. We can get our subscribers up. We can do more.
Right,
so please like us, subscribe. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And we'll be bringing you Instagram. Like us on Instagram. Subscribe. And again, as I said, we come to you every Wednesday as your Midweek Motivator. CB and the boys. So, back to our show. Time got lost.
Oh, well, wait a minute. You didn't mention iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We're kicking it with iHeart.
Are you out there in iHeartland?
Yes.
Thanks for joining us
on iHeartRadio. Welcome to you as well, and to everyone in Bego that is watching us and listening to us.
Yeah, we definitely still have our loyal Bego following.
We do.
We have
117 people. Yes, we have 117 people watching us right now, listening to us right now.
All right. See? Now, real quick, while we're on that, I want to throw something out there. I don't know this individual. I'm sure at some point we may meet. But if you don't know, there's a gentleman online on social media named Sean King. hey, I got to give it up to the light-skinned brothers. You know, I'm always on y'all's head. But this cat has been hugely instrumental in exposing a lot of what's going on in the world. I mean, he works tirelessly. And sometimes I feel bad for this brother because he catches flack from his own people. Because, again, people deliberately spread misinformation. They say he steals money, he does this, he's misappropriating funds that are going to victims. He does none of the above. This man has actually shown records, receipts, had family members call in. He's 100% legit. I almost never endorse people. If you know me, you know that. But whatever you do, support this brother, follow him. Because guess what? If something happened to one of us or whatever, he's going to be the one that people call now. I mean, he's taking the mantle from some of our, you know, some of our drum majors from the 60s and 70s. I just have to give his brother a lot of props, you know. At some point, maybe we'll reach out, we'll talk to him, because he's working endlessly. And he says to people all the time, because the minute something happens, they go calling, running to him. What are you going to do, Sean? What are you going to say about it? He literally runs through, he said, I don't know, thousands of emails and everything a day. And he's got another program that he's coupled with called Grassroots. I forget the rest. Grassroots Law, I think. But they help fund and finance and get, you know, they collect all the necessary equipment basically to help people, you know, solve these crimes, recover, you know. You can't bring family members back, but they expose. And, I mean, I feel like this brother is really, you know, putting himself in between the crosshairs, because you know what happens to all of our heroes. They try to silence them. So, people, do what you can to try to help this man, protect him how you can, because he's literally putting his life on the line. He's got a family, but he's putting his life on the line because he has to make a difference and see change. And you know what? At this particular point, there are not a lot of heroes out there. I don't even use that word. This brother really is one of them. I think about him a lot because he's worn out. He's tired. He's young, but he's tired of seeing it happen. And so, you know, Sean King is the man's name. Check him out. Yeah. But this is kind of what we were talking about earlier, the difference between, you know, the person that's cussing across the street, talking shit, calling the police punk bitches and all that, and the guy saying whatever. And this man is, he's acting. He's doing something. See, there's a bunch of shit talkers out there. There's a bunch of people talking about, I wish you wouldn't. See, to all of them, I honestly say, shut the fuck up. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you look like me. I don't care if you look like you. For those that are doing all that talking because they want to get a like or because they want to get on somebody's thread, and then, you know, you piss off because you're not helping. You're just talking shit. But this young man is doing his damn thing. I mean, he's out there. He's collecting a lot of money. He's getting people paid. I mean, it's all he can do, but it kills him. You can tell. You can look at him sometimes and tell. It physically pains him to see what's going on. Now, think about it. The kid in Minnesota, Dante Wright. Guess what? My son's name is Dante, and he's beige, too. I got a light-skinned son. Now, hopefully my son would never do no dumb shit like, you know, go out there and get belligerent and do things like that. I'm not saying that that's what this kid did. I'm just saying, and there's never a reason. They're the same age. I mean, that could just as easily have been my kid. You know, they're of a height, of a build. I mean, the only thing different is even in Minnesota, my kid lives in a different state. You know, and again, he doesn't, and I know my kid. My kid's got a great disposition. He's never going to get out of pocket. He won't do anything but call me and say, hey, what do I do? He's never going to talk loud. But I hate how they paint all of us with the same brush. They always want to show pictures of black people with guns or drugs or doing whatever. It doesn't matter how many own guns. It doesn't matter what they do in their spare time. Do they ever do that when you see these good old boys with camouflage on, holding up a moose or some goofy shit they shot, a duck and all that, with every kind of gun in their arsenal? They don't do it. But if it's us, we have to be gangsters. We have to be, you know, whatever. So, you know, that was kind of off tangent, but I'm just saying support the people that are really fighting the fight, not just the ones that are talking, not the ones that are on social media getting mad and bumping their gums, but the ones who are making the phone calls, using their own resources and things like that. We've got to help support those people. There are just not enough out there. So, I mean, that was my little preachy moment for the day, at least until I have another one. You're welcome.
The night is young.
It is.
And we know you.
We know me. We know me.
We know you. We know you.
Yeah. I mean, I ain't preaching, but sometimes. here's a quick question. Another. I'm giving a lot of credit to my resources and things like that here, because again, I do talk with people. about the things we plan on talking to tonight. So, Jay, this is for you. One of the things we were discussing is the fact that George Floyd is going to be a lot of things, a catchphrase, for better or for worse, a meme, for better or for worse. His face is going to be plastered everywhere. How would you feel as a family member, the person who had to bury him? His daughter is still young, the child's mother, wife, fiance, whatever she was. Maybe his parent or parents are alive, brothers. I know his sister is. How do you think that's going to affect them? Think about it. If you have to constantly see a reminder, your son's face is everywhere now. On one hand, it's a source of pride, but on another hand, you know, people are the whole I can't breathe thing, the whole fact that he called for his dead mother, the fact that he, you know, all this shit, and people, this video is everywhere. You know, the internet's eternal. So how could you go through your daily life knowing that at any given moment there may be a flash up on the screen of your loved one dying again and again? How would you handle that? Because, again, this is going to be in the history books, and it's going to be a thing where, yes, this happened, this changed. Technically, it changed the country, at least in some fashion. But how do you think they're going to just, I don't know, how do you think they're going to respond? You know what I mean? How do you think they're going to do that? Because, I don't know, it would be rough being reminded over and over again.
For me, it would be hard. I mean, but it's necessary because of the gravity of the situation and what he now symbolizes. Yes, you're going to be reminded, it's a constant reminder that he's no longer here. So even if his name wasn't plastered everywhere or his face wasn't everywhere, it would still be a reminder that he's not here. So he's basically become
an icon,
a symbol. Yes, that's the word, an icon.
Almost a martyr, because he didn't want to die.
Yeah.
So that makes
him
a martyr.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So.
Sure. It's wild because, again, you know, I think everybody wants to make an impact, but you never think of it that way. And here's what is interesting. Think about it. The two of the three or four most high-profile cases, let's call it, let's go Rodney King back in, what was it, 91. Man, wondering how long ago that was? Good Lord.
Yeah.
So let's look at Rodney King, and now let's look at Floyd. And the two things about it is, of course, they're trying to tarnish who these people were. Oh, he was on this drug, he was bad, he was XYZ. It's always got to be that. They're trying to give him a black eye, but that, it doesn't matter. So I think it's interesting how you don't have to be the perfect example of a person to make an impact. I don't think they had any clue that their lives would be forever woven into, you know, the social fabric of this crazy place, but they have been. And unfortunately, they're not here to see it, but they had to pay the ultimate price. But I think it's interesting that it did happen to two gentlemen who, you know, for lack of a better phrase, you know, weren't angelic, but shit, none of us are. And that's interesting. And I think sometimes it has to be like that in order to really make the most noise, like something totally unexpected. But yeah, I definitely think that it's probably, it's bittersweet. It's got to be painful, but also pride, you know, so it's a pride for the family to say, you know, my brother did that, or, you know, one day when Shorty grows up, you know, that happened to my dad and it was horrific, but the George Floyd law went into effect, the blah, 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 you know, whenever that comes about. But, yeah, just wondering, because we talked about that too, like, man, that would be rough. You had to bury this individual, and now you have to see them over and over and over again, hear their name, see their face. The support is cool, but, and you know, in every group, there's going to be one who's going to have something sideways to say, or, you know, and again, we're not going to always be on the same page as people, but, I mean, damn, you still can't talk about Elvis without some of these folks losing their shit.
That's true. That is so true. Oh, my God, yes. That is so true. No two words have ever been spoken than that. I mean, yes, that is so, so, so true. I can't stress that enough.
Oh, teeth and ass, Elvis. So true. They want everything we represent and do, but you know, they don't want you collectively, you know. Even from a source of hell, stealing organs and things, you know, we can go all the way down that rabbit hole.
Right.
We prefer you dead over alive, you know, because you know Pappy needs a new liver to keep drinking and at the golf club and shit. So. All right, let's see. Now, okay. What do you guys think about this comment that here we have from Ms. James here? Has anyone noticed that the majority of the ones who have lost their lives have been chocolate complexions? You rarely see light-skinned blacks being gunned down on TV. Well, I wonder why that is. Very interesting.
I don't have an answer on that one.
What do you think, G? Do you see any correlation?
Well, I don't know, because there is so many that have met with this type of end. I mean, being gunned down unjustly, unarmed, killed for whatever the case, whatever the situation may be, and
right.
it's all complexions, really. It's all complexions, you know. When we look at, Trayvon Martin wasn't dark skinned, you know.
Not your complexion, actually, but, from looking at it.
Right, you know. But it's overwhelming the amount of people there have been. I mean, and how much do you actually, you know, how much of it gets a lot of publicity? Not a lot. I mean, because Dante Wright. That was killed in Brooklyn on April 11th. You got Marvin Davis Scott III. That was pepper sprayed and assaulted on March 14th.
Right.
You got Patrick Warren that was done by an officer in January. You got Vincent Belante, who was done, who was also killed in January. I mean, you got multiple murders every month going back throughout last year.
Well, I mean,
every month at least two murders
it goes
killed by
that.
Police officers. You know, I mean, so the only thing that I say that links them all together, you know, when you try to see, you know, when you look for a trend, you go back and look at all these that have happened. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44. I'm through counting. I'm only halfway down the screen.
I'm about to say,
back,
Negro, you
I'm
couldn't
only back
count by five
I'm only
or some
back,
shit.
I'm only back.
Exactly.
Look, I'm only
like,
back
what?
2 years right now. I'm only back 2 years right now.
You're not going
to
catch up. Yeah, you're not going to catch up.
When you want to say the similarities in the situations, what's the similarities? They all have one thing in common. The police. I don't know what else to tell you. I just call it like I see it. They all got one thing in common: the police.
I mean, that's
all I see.
I will play the. You know, again, I do my job well when it comes to that. I will say, and I've said it before, I do think that like police and judges and all that well, obviously they're color struck, but I mean, even when it comes to just within our culture, because people tend to be, because again, the more that you try to assimilate with whiteness, the more accepted you feel you are. So to kind of go back to that question, I do think that there's a direct correlation between darker blacks and Hispanics and people of color than lighter that gets off. And I say that for several reasons. One, you don't look like the judge or the police's nephew, brother, son. You don't look like them. And if you happen to be of mixed heritage or whatever, that's not your fault. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying they can look at that and now in 2021 and be like, ah, yeah, I got a mixed nephew, or, you know, my sister dated. They can kind of wrap their minds around the fact that you could be that curly-haired boy from damn High School Musical or whatever. But they don't look at me and see anything but black threat. Unless, again, you happen to have a best friend or grew up with someone and you were like, yo, we were close, your haircut, you look alike, then it gives a moment for pause. Aside from that, we all just look alike to them. They don't know the difference between an affluent, well-to-do, upwardly mobile, educated black man and a nigga on the street who just robbed the store. We all look alike. They don't care that my shoes cost whatever and he has on Jordans. They don't care that he's wearing a sweatsuit if I'm wearing a three-piece suit. They don't care. We still represent the same danger to them. So I do feel like people that have a certain complexion do end up getting targeted more, if you will. I do. I think sometimes that's almost an innate fear. It looks so different. It's fearful. It's scary. Almost like, you know, the whole proverbial, are they savage kind of a thing. It's so weird because people fear what they don't understand, and a difference in appearance can do that. Not to mention all the other stereotypes and shit that goes with us, you know. I do think when it comes to, you know, is that a target point? Possibly. Because, yeah, you don't see a lot of people that look like Derek Jeter getting killed. You don't see A-Rod getting shot. I mean, I'm not saying they don't, because, again, the young man that was in the military that you just mentioned that got maced, I mean, obviously he's, you know, lighter than I am because he's of mixed descent, but you don't see people like that. Hell, you don't see Jason Momoa's and Lenny Kravitz's getting popped very often. You just don't. But again, that people can look at them and say, oh, there's, you know, something there. Me? Nah, not at all. So even though this gentleman was Dante Wright, he was a light-skinned young man, but he's, you know, again, they're just looking for any reason. And again, I don't know what was said, don't know what the conversation was, I don't know how he handled himself. But if you want to do the math and look back at it, there does seem to be some correlation, so I'm going to have to agree with her that there seems to be some direct correlation between them just tagging darker-skinned blacks and killing them instantly versus talking, listening, being a little more, agreeable. I don't know. If somebody knows, if somebody can prove me, you know, wrong or has a different statistic from what we've just seen and what George read, by all means, chime in. But that's definitely something to think about. You know, because, you know, your brother be getting dark in the summertime, y'all. I got to be careful. I mean, shit, I can't even say I get red because, hell, you see what they did to them, too. Damn shame. Damn shame.
Well, guys, as I said in the beginning, today is Luke Evangelist's birthday. At least that's what someone told me. Now, whether or not it's true or not, because I didn't have a chance to research it, but we're just going to roll that it is. So I'm going to play my favorite Luther Vandross song, and this is called I'd Rather. And it's such a cool song because it's about, like, being with someone through your trials and tribulations rather than going through trials and tribulations by yourself. And so I love this song. So here is Luther Vandross. And I've got three Luther songs queued up for us to enjoy. So here is the first, my favorite, I'd Rather. And here's Luther Vandross and I'd Rather.
I thought some time alone was what we really needed. You said this time would hurt more than it helped, but I couldn't see that. I thought it was the end of a beautiful story, and so I left the one I love at home to be alone. And I tried and found out this one thing, it's true, that I'm nothing without you. I know better now, and I've had a change of heart. I'd rather have bad times with you than good times with someone else. I'd rather be beside you in a storm than safe and warm. Someone, and thought she could replace you. We got along just fine, but wasted time because she was not you. We had a lot of fun, though we knew we were faking. Love was not in place with our connection. Built our lives on than good times with someone else. I'd rather be beside you in a storm than safe and warm by myself. I'd rather have hard times together than to have it easy apart. I'd rather have the one who holds my heart. Who holds my heart. I can't blame you if you turn away from me like I've done you. I can only prove the things I say with time. Please be mine. Spend good times with someone else. I know better now. I'd rather have the one who holds my heart. Ooh, my heart.
I love this song. I love this song. It's, oh, my God.
Everybody sounds good when Luther over the top. Yeah, see,
okay.
When Luther's over the top. Yeah, you hit that mute, though, and it's like,
Oh my God.
Nails on a chalkboard. Interesting subject. So, what do you think about that? Would that be an apt statement for you in terms of, would you rather go through just all manners of, you know, hell and misfortune and da da da, with the person that you want to be with, or would you, I guess, I don't know, want to have like smooth sailing through life alone, as he's saying?
You know, I used to believe that a life without love is no life at all, or success is nothing without someone you love to share it with. And I still ring true to success is nothing without someone you love to share it with. However, it's got to be someone that compliments you, someone that you can relate to. I mean, good looks and all of that, yeah, it's a perk, but looks fade. So when the looks fade, what do you have? If you don't have someone you can hold a conversation with, someone who gets you, someone that you understand, then it's really not going to work and it's not worth it. But if you have a foundation, like I think every relationship should have a foundation of friendship. I want to be friends first. If we can't be friends, then there's no way that we can be anything else. And, you know, and that's really the long and short of it. You know, so would I want to go through rough times with someone if I loved them, truly loved them? Sure. I'm a ride or die. If I love you, I love you, and I love hard. But when it's done, I'll walk away from you, and I won't piss on you if you're on fire on the sidewalk to put you out.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. I feel you on that, and I was thinking that same thing. I think especially as we get older, we start to understand and appreciate what it really means to have someone stick through things, because unfortunately, when we're younger, like you said, we're young, the world is your oyster, you feel like you've got everything lined up, and people always know what they want to do, where they want to go, at what point, and things like that, and then you start to get a couple of dents in the fender, and then life starts to run your ass off the road a time or three, and then you begin to realize, man, this is not a straight shot, and so at that point, you begin to say, you know what, I'd much rather rock through anything with someone who's not going to let go of my hand. It's something hard to fathom, because we want everything perfect because we've been pitched fairy tales. I mean, this is little boys and girls in certain ways. And then you begin to realize that the person that you thought was perfect is only cute until the makeup comes off, or until he doesn't cut his hair, or, you know, loses his job, or she. You know, we have all kind of, you know, unrealistic expectations of each other. And I say to people all the time, you know what, if you've got a checklist a mile long of shit that people should be and have to have, guess what, they probably don't want your ass. And that's what's funny about it. because I mean, I've been there. When you were younger, we all did. She's got to be this, have that, da da da, or he's got to have this, be this tall, make this one, do all that shit. If he was all that, he wouldn't want your ass. He'd want somebody who also fits that mold. And so I like where the song goes, though. What he's saying is, because guess what, the rain is not that cold. If you're running in the rain with somebody that you love, you know when you get inside, you guys are gonna huddle up and be warm. If you're broke, you at least trying to put your heads together to figure out how to team up and make it work. that's really invaluable, because it's a difference when you know someone's got your back and your support. And again, I think we all at some point understand both sides of that fence. We know what it's like to be heavily supported. We know what it's like to be not supported at all. And it hurts when you think, damn, I think I'm trying to do everything I can, and maybe it's not enough. And then you encounter someone that goes, no matter what you do, it's enough. And if you don't think it's enough, then I'll help you get to enough. That's the person I'm going to run through a wall for. Because it takes a while, but if you show someone that type of loyalty, you're a new fool if you take advantage of that. And I know people do, but, again, we get to a certain point in life and we're like, shit, regardless. You give me that person, like you said, that's a ride or die. I don't have to look behind me because that person's there. Look, hey, I'm not a mountain climber, but I'll climb the mountain for you or with you. You know, if you jump, I jump kind of a person. Yeah, that's amazing.
Exactly. It is. And it's a rarity. And when you find it, hold on to it. Because relationships like that are hard to find. I want someone who not only wants to walk with me and fight beside me, but also fight for me. If I'm down and I can't fight for myself, fight for me. Be that rock that I can lean on. Because sometimes you need somebody to lean on. You know?
Everybody, agreed. Everybody does. I mean, it's too tough to do it alone.
It is. You know, and I pride myself on being an independent woman, you know, doing it myself. Single mom, did the damn thing, raised twins on my own who are now 23, so I survived. So, you know, and I can pat myself on the back because my kids are both self-sufficient as well, and I like to think they did that for me. And it's just, it's interesting when I hear some women talk about, you know, they just need a man, any man. They don't care. You know, Cro-Magnon man could walk in the door and they're ready to snatch him up.
Well, so, we all are, to some degree. My club is leaning on the wall right now. I'm the bug.
But, you know, but somebody could, you know, have the best looks and no brain. So what is that going to do for you? Who can you hold a conversation with? All you can do is just sit there and stare at the person. You can't, there's no, you know, substance. There's nothing.
No, for sure.
Hi. How are you?
At a particular point, you have the things, for the most part, that you need to sustain you, and then it becomes about complimenting you. See, at a certain point, some people are like that. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. You know, what am I going to do without? Until you realize you can. But we oftentimes are products of what we've been shown or taught or told. I mean, I know grown people, men our age and older, that just they can't be alone or they don't know how to enjoy their own company. They have to have a woman, no matter how subpar. But I also feel like a lot of that goes back to what's your self-esteem. Look, everybody's got some type of mommy or daddy issue. It may be big, it may be small. We've all got something. It doesn't mean it made you jacked up. It just means, you know, my mother was really hard on me, so I studied hard. Or my dad was really tough, so I tried to beat his school record. Or it could be that one of them wasn't there for long. It doesn't matter. When I say mommy and daddy issues, I mean something about our parents being there or not being there helped shape who we've become. But what's interesting is when I do encounter people that have to have a partner, and I guess I feel like I've never, quote-unquote, ever been alone because I've always had a wonderful, supportive family. You know my family. But even in terms of when it was, whether it was dating or anything like that, I've always had the option of choosing to or to not be. So I can't really speak from, I don't know what it's like to be at home and go, what do I do now? Because if I went home alone, it was like, shit, I don't want to see anybody. But I never had to spend a year or two or three deliberately going, I wish I had a partner. So maybe I'm not really the expert to speak on it, but I do feel like it's weird when some people feel like they have to have someone so much that they'll take anything that comes along, even if it's not good for them. That's part I don't understand.
Codependency is a dangerous thing. I agree wholeheartedly with that
because some relationship situations are just completely toxic, and nobody needs to be in a toxic relationship. And there are people out there that just, it's almost like they live for a toxic relationship. They would rather have a toxic relationship than no relationship at all. And that makes absolutely zero sense to me.
Yeah. But we all know
it's
someone
not good
like that,
for anybody.
Every
oh, yeah.
we all know it. Yeah. At least one. I know several. I love them.
but
you just look at them and go, the fuck. But again, I think we are products of our environment to a lot of degrees. I mean, yes, some things are nature, some things are nurture. And you just said it perfectly. That codependent nature is amazing because I feel like sometimes it gets kind of pushed on people and they don't know it. And then all of a sudden you take on the identity of your partner. It's kind of like they say dogs begin to look like their owner.
Now, what do you think? What do you think about when there is we're going to throw some salt in the mix. When there's a child involved in that situation, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, personally, I think a child is better off with their parents being separated than being raised in a broken home. You know, a young child may not see that. You know, all they know is mama over here and daddy over there. What the fuck? You know,
right.
But there are people that will stay together for the sake of their child, and they actually end up hurting that child in the long run because that child watches people growing up arguing and fighting and the worst of the worst. And
wondering why mommy's bad and daddy's mad.
You know, if daddy's beating on mama every day of this child's life and he's raising a young son, then that son grows up thinking that's what we do.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, it must be okay. That's what we do. And I feel that some people don't realize that that's a toxic relationship that shouldn't happen either. You know, don't let the child be the reason you stay in a toxic relationship. Because it's kind of, not only is it bad for you, but it's bad for you and the child.
Speaking as someone who did that in the beginning, I did do that. I was in a toxic relationship with the twin's dad. And it was very abusive. He tried to stab me with a box cutter. I think for me, that was my aha moment, like, aha, I better get my ass out of this situation. And so that's
not a box cutter.
That's some old jailhouse type shit.
I still have the scar on the back of my hand where he tried to stab me. It's like right here.
He went Shawshank and shit, American Me is boy, keep going for you. No, but you know what you did, and here's the thing, I know you did that early enough on. Again, any day is a day too long, but like, look at what you chose to do at that point. This is 20 plus years ago versus some people that wait 20 years to do it. And again, far be it for me to tell anybody, because any of us that has children has contemplated a felony with our partner. I can promise you that. We all have. But and I know selfishly, you know, I like waking up with my kids. So the thing is, I think you're right. Sometimes people do things. Everything about having children is selfish. Everything about it, especially if you really, really want and love your kids. Now, for people that don't, they're out. They don't care. Shit, that's my exit. I'm gone. But if you like you like being driven crazy by your goofy ass children, then you don't want to not have that day. So I say to people like that, you should absolutely either figure out a way to at least coexist, if not split the house up and do whatever. But you're right. I mean, what's the right way? You know, who's to say? Because you're right. We all see and hear certain things that kind of shape or warp us at a young age inadvertently. But then, like you said, what you did, maybe they didn't know what was going on. But when you go back and tell them stories, they understand. And now they can say, we respect you or we hold you in even higher regard, Mom, because you took the steps to do what you did. Because kids are going to ask, you know, how come someone, you know, my kid, this is how goofy kids are. My daughter, my youngest, asked me years ago, how come we're in the same house still? You know, my friends move a lot. They've had three different houses. And I had to explain to this remedial individual that it's called stability, child. You know, you know, when you're, it's just like every one of us knows somebody who has a new phone number every 3 fucking weeks. So don't even put it in your phone. Just write the shit in pencil. And so, but that just
hey,
proves.
I got friends. I got friends that have that. If you look under their name. I click on their name in the contacts, and it just be a whole list of phone numbers.
I got a cousin like that. But listen, what's funny is after a while, I just put the, I put like the person's name and I put a number behind the name. So if you're George 5, this is your 5th phone number. Literally, if you're George 3, this is the 3rd number I got for you. I'm not going to keep on doing this because people want to be like, nuh-uh, no, I didn't. And I go, you know what? I'll show your ass. And I literally just start keeping every number. And then you, and then one day you look at them and go, huh. Now, yeah, I'm on number 5. I haven't had a number of years. Exactly. but you know, and again, I know we nobody hits it perfectly, so trust me. I'm sure I've said some things that have warped my children, but luckily they, you know, they have my DNA, so they're resilient and slightly less skilled anyway. So shit, they never stood a chance, and I'm good.
You know
with
what,
that.
What's crazy is though that the fact that they see that outside of your home, they see that. And they see it so much that they think that's normal. That's what people do.
Well,
they just move every
well,
year.
I'm thankful that when you have open dialogue, and don't get me wrong, I don't believe in putting children in a contemporary place. I know people that do. I don't agree with it. Like at this age, they're young adults. But when, you know, 6, 7, 10, you're not my contemporary. Certain things we're not going to talk about. But there were no secrets in terms of why things went on. You don't get into, quote-unquote, grown folks' business, like we used to say. But, you know, as time went on, look, they can't help what they observe. And if they observe something that's of an adult nature, you have to address it. But that's still not giving them free rein to get into adult situations. Thankfully, when they come in, what they're used to is open dialogue, candid conversation, and stability without seeing. They've seen the complete opposite within their own family on certain sides and within their friends' homes. So it's funny because we make a lot of jokes about, you know, like this is a madhouse, but it's also a safe haven, and that's the one thing I want them to know. And they've always known that is because when you go somewhere else and you go, oh, my God, when a teenager comes and tells you how much tension they felt in a room or how people don't get along or don't talk or this person is always sad or whatever, that's when you have to really be thankful for the fact that your kids feel at ease and at home and comfortable enough to come to you. And unfortunately, that means their friends do too. So you never know who the hell you're feeding or housing. But you know what? That's kind of a thing in my family, and I'm proud to carry on that legacy now that my mothers are gone and my dad and all that. So it is interesting. What they see is what they replicate. And so if anything, I hope they replicate the good parts of growing up, knowing that they could have open dialogue and they have aunts and uncles. They have people that they can call and talk about things without feeling, you know, so judged and things like that. But I know a lot of people don't have that. And so I do feel bad for people like that. But, you know, I'll talk to a stranger if I think it helps them out a little bit because you never know what your words are going to do for people. But damn, Daddy, why do we have the same house? You little son of a... all my friends had 3 houses by the time they were in the 8th grade. Shut your ass up. Oh, geez. See, this is the way kids think, man. This is what they think.
Clowns.
Yeah, clowns. It really is.
If you just joined us, you're listening to CBN. If you just joined us, you're listening to CBN The Voice, who comes to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivator. I'm not in my voice there.
Oh, what you been doing? Swinging from the chandelier.
Man. I don't even know what that is. Let's check that again. This is not Danny. It's listening to CB and the Boys Radio Show. I'm CB. Got my boys, Mr. Roger Hawkins and Mr. George Blacker Boy Hallman. Dirty Douchey Man Thomas has not been able to join us tonight, but we hope to have him back next week. So the show must go on. We come to you every Wednesday as your midweek motivator here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also see us on YouTube as well as Facebook. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to like us and subscribe. If you're on Facebook, don't forget to like us. And on YouTube, press the button and subscribe, 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 subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, your ghost, your dad,
press
and whoever. Everybody press the button. And subscribe.
Just don't say the word button. I hate that. I'm sorry, people from
button.
New York or wherever, but I hate
press the button.
I hate.
I'm gonna make a graphic.
It's a pimp. Look, you're gonna touch your butt. Touch your butt. If you're gonna touch your button, but it's not a button. I'm sorry.
The button.
Hey, we're getting into the rant by Raj hour.
Press the button.
Oh my God.
You squeeze the butt or you press a fucking button, but you don't press a button. I hate that. I'm sorry. This is rant by Raj right now. Y'all know how it happens after 9. Speaking of ranting, let's rant. I know in light of everything that's been going on, you know, I know it's deliberate, but I still have to ask the rhetorical question. Why do they insist on interviewing the most ignorant, I-G-N-A-N-T, Jerry Curl, coon-ass, country, Bama, oh, my damn. And I know it's done on purpose, so let me not even pretend to be brand new about it, but it makes my ass itch. Why do they have to interview the nigga with four teeth, two in his mouth and two in his pocket, who did not make it past the fifth grade, and just ugh, why do we, I can't take it. They do it on purpose, too. They will go past anybody who looks like they can read. Oh, no, she's literate, she's too well-dressed. And they will, let me sift through here. Let me find the one dude walking with two different colored house shoes. Like I said, you know, got a spatula in his back pocket and a fucking hockey jersey on, and start to ask him. They want to interview him. They love making us look stupid. But what makes me mad is that nobody throws a rock and hits that fool in the head that's talking and drags his ass off camera. That I cannot tolerate. Ooh. I'm done.
It's like that Antoine guy that had like the bag on his head, and he was like, "Hide your wife, hide the kids." It was just roasted by God.
And was it Antoine bad term doctrine? I think that was who he was.
Yes,
you know, he had his 5 minutes.
Yes.
You know what? As much as I hate it, it was like when he did it organically, my skin crawled, but I did laugh. And that's only because, I'm sorry, gay people are like the funniest people on earth that don't get paid for it. But it was, I was just like, and that was just him being extra. He wasn't necessarily unintelligent. He was just being extra. But I'm talking about, you know, OG Ray Ray coming on the scene and shit like that, you know. You know, he just put his tall can of Camo down, or steel, or whatever malt liquor he was drinking. You know, come on, man. Don't stop. It's just,
yeah, it's Colt 45 in his back pocket.
Oh, man. Oh, don't forget the lady that was in the fire or something. She was like, we ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Same thing. They look, listen, don't get me wrong. We are some creative, funny people. But damn, it's a time and a place for everything. And again, you know, all of them, they were made into ringtones and rap songs and memes. Look, you know what? You made money off your creativity. God bless. I'm glad you're gone into obscurity again. But, ugh, I just couldn't take it. Because they'll never interview somebody like, you know, somebody who can eloquently, you know, describe anything. Because it's like, oh, that's no fun. But then you get somebody to go, I saw it over there. I sank everything. I'm trying to tell you. I told them, boy, don't go up with me. You know, just, you know, Hamburger Hill, Mush Mouth, and all this. You know, these people doing that shit. I hate it. It's just one more thing that they can just snicker about. It pisses me off. But, yeah, I was just wondering. Like, I know they do. They seek out who can make this the most buffoonish interview ever. They go find them. But hide your wife, hide your kids. Yeah, like, come on, man. Cut it out.
I feel a really great coming out. Next up, we've got more Luther Vandross on his heavenly birthday, and here is If Only for One Night.
All right.
If only for one night, let me keep you near to ease away fear. It would be so nice if only for one night. I won't tell it. No one has to know. If you want to be totally discreet, I'll be at your side. If only for one night. Yeah, yeah. If only for one night. But I'm
only for one night.
Listen, world and audience, I have already commented for you guys, I promise you. As a family, for these two, and collectively, Luther never needed help. Listen, the only time Luther got help, and it's one of my favorite Luther songs, since y'all are asking, you're welcome, was the one with him and Gregory Hines, There's Nothing Better Than Love. Those two, they did the damn thing. I love this song to this day. But other than that, Luther didn't need any help.
Hey,
listen, though,
I'm in the cane. I still got it.
Well, if you had that silver suit, y'all be sending images. Duck, duck. Hey, duck. Get a pull on me. I've been practicing every day, baby. I'm back.
Oh, my Lord.
If we ever do a stage play, guess who you playing, G? Guess who you playing?
The light skin is changed.
Yeah, man. Nothing like this. He wish. Raindrop was.
Raindrop was.
That is not kidding. Nothing like this. I wish.
I can sing. I can blow. Like,
I mean, yeah, girl, you a triple threat. Cross country ski. You a triple threat, girl.
You didn't know she could. Let me show you what she got. Let me show you what you got. Now, for those of you who are listening on Big O and listening to us on a Blog Talk, unfortunately, you're going to have to be watching us on Facebook or YouTube to see this and even hear this probably. But you'll probably hear it, but you ain't going to be able to see it. But Here she is right here. This is her.
You know Georgie Cordy. Oh, that's jacked up.
Wow. Hey, she's gorgeous. That's all I can say. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
But look at it again. That's actually Crystal. Look at it. That's her face. That's actually Crystal.
Well, you know, hey, boo. Yes, George has too much time on his hands.
That was
me. We see what George does when he got time off from work. This cat. We see what he does. That was pretty damn funny. I hate y'all. Y'all ruined Luther. I'm mad about that, but love you.
Oh, that's all right. We have another Luther.
I at least put mine on mute before I got to blowing. I hadn't warmed up the pipes yet, so I didn't want to hit everybody with that heat. You know, I just had to put mute.
All right, I got one.
All right, hit me.
This one, you guys aren't ready for it. This is good.
Now this one's not Luther.
Now this one's not a Luther song, but this is my favorite song right now, currently. Here we go.
Oh boy.
This song is good.
I look too good to be alone. Ooh. My house clean. My pool warm. Just shake.
Smooth like a newborn.
We should be dancing, romancing in the key swing and the wind.
I'ma leave the door open.
Get a video two-stepping right. with that joint, see, for the video feed,
yes.
because that right there, woo,
yeah,
that heat,
yes.
that right there is right.
I need to find a guy I can two-step with, because...
Good luck
I
to
love
you two-step. In Arizona.
You in Arizona.
right.
Good luck at that.
Have you looked around?
Let me know how that goes for
they
you.
Don't exist.
You're doing
exist,
good just
yeah.
to find a guy, let alone two-stepping part.
well, damn.
Teach one of them coyotes out there. I'm a roll.
Really? I was going to play a nice song for you, Raj, but you know what? The coyote thing.
Listen, I know the kind of individuals that drive in trucks around Arizona. Sorry, you know I'm not that far away. We'll have a Bruno. We'll have a Bruno session when I film from there.
Yeah,
I'm the road warrior.
I love to see that.
Honestly, right. When I go
here's
home, I got to get at least one in.
well, here's our next Luther song. Here you go, Raj.
I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed that the night is almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say, she's still in love, and no one could take her love away. Wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear her say, she's still in love, and no one could take her love away. I wanna be loved, there's nothing
love. There's nothing better than
Shit right there though. Look, you can karaoke that to me and still get my damn money. I'll throw my wallet at shit. So you draw on the stage. That's my shit, man. I ain't even gonna front. If y'all wasn't here, I might even get a little emotional. I'd be singing to my dog or something. Fuck y'all. I ain't scared. I'm a man about mine. That's my thing. Love that joint, man. That's my joint. I'm just a huge Gregory Hines fan anyway. So him on top of Luther's like, come on, you know. But
legend.
That's what's up. Yeah, you know what? I'm actually giving you some credit for that. You know, you moved up today. You might even get a gold star, girl. You hitting it right. Shoot, I ain't even gonna talk about your cooking today. Shoot, I'm feeling loved up in here. Feeling love. Nope. Don't backpedal.
Whoa.
Mm-mm. No backpedal. That's crazy. There'll be none of that. Now.
Well, I got one. I'm going to take you guys way back.
Let's hit it. Now, I got another one I'm going to have to throw into the mix eventually.
She's going back in history now.
Yeah, man, let me see who it is, though. Let me see who it is.
In a club hanging out one night. He said, hello, I'm George. Hi, life. How's everything going, huh? How you doing? Hope everything's fine. Ooh, and can I call you sometimes? Can I get the digits and the address so I can come visit? I gave him the digits. That wasn't a problem, because if he caught any, I would have to solve them, because George looks good. Damn good. And if I didn't, some other girl would. In my mind, I hope for the best, in his eyes. She gave me the number, I'm surprised. Good conversation over the phone. He began to comfort me whenever I was alone. George was sweet, so nice and so neat. With any other guy, he didn't have to compete. George was mature, he made sure that he was the only man I'd ever adore. Girl, have you ever had a friend that you get with every now and then? I know for a fact George had a lot of girls spread out from state to state around the world. As long as he was smart and kept the girls in check, make sure I never saw them and showed me respect. He didn't have to be loyal like men should be. I don't care about the other girls, just be good to me. But if I ever saw one, that would be the end. He couldn't kick the storyline if she was just a friend. The girls, I didn't care if I don't lie, because George, he was used to making young girls cry.
Words of wisdom from the talented, legendary MC Light and Georgie Porgy. Poor George. How did she know you, George?
Well,
did you date MC Light?
I resemble that statement a little bit. all the way up into the dead.
Part. Right. He didn't hit a truck, but this nigga did do some interesting things on his bike.
Right. That's the reason I got a crutch sitting over there on the wall.
Right.
Being thrown 40 feet.
Hey, you know, that's not even a good triple jump. That's all right. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
You know, what's interesting is,
I am living proof of my favorite statement. You know what that statement
what's
is?
That?
A drunk ain't shit.
Oh, well, hey, you know, I think everybody lives and believes that, so touché. Hey, so what do you think about MC Light, actually? You know, she married a guy who was kind of a fan, and, you know, he kind of did the whole catching up with her, making contact, blah, blah, blah. You know, they started dating, boom, not too long ago. You know, a couple of years ago they got married. That's kind of wild. And it's kind of one of those, you know, again, don't get me wrong, you know, my man, he's doing his thing. He's handling his business. But considering who she is and, you know, things like that, it's kind of wild. Don't you think, like, for someone to be like, look, you know, I'm digging her. I want to meet her. But here's what I'll say. He wasn't just like some scrub who was like, oh, she fine, I want to boom, boom. But he didn't do the 50 and Vivica shit, let me put it like that. He literally did his homework. And, I mean, again, he had his act together. So when they, you know, when they met and all that, trust me, he came quick. But I just thought that was pretty cool, you know, how, you know, consider everything she's, you know, her whole life and whatnot. And then she met this brother, like I said, crazy about him. So I thought that's pretty cool. But I wonder how does that gotta feel like when you know, like, like certain celebrities, you know everybody wants your old lady. Like, you know everybody wants to bang your wife. Everybody wants to steal your girl. How do niggas live with that? Because I'm sorry.
You know what?
Bad as she's been talking about.
I'm the kind that don't have a problem with that. I mean, I see that as a compliment to me. Because
sure,
here's my
sure.
thought. If I am the only person on the planet interested in my wife, then maybe I need to reevaluate my issue.
I say that all the time. If ain't somebody looking at your girl, you need a new girl. You're right. Like, if brothers ain't trying to hit on. And you know what's weird? Like, okay, and Crystal, since you're the resident woman here, how do you feel about, like, that insane jealousy and all that? Like, some brothers wig out. And then sometimes it's cultural. Sometimes it's who you are, how you're brought up and things like that. But, like, it's like some people are just like insanely jealous out the gate, and we're like, how do you think that's cute? Like, some people think it's adorable. Oh, it's cute. He gets mad. He's jealous. Blah blah blah. How do you feel about that when like, you know, guys just instantly they're looking crazy, they're snapping out, they're wigging out, they want to fight all the time because maybe someone looked at that woman or complimented her or et cetera. What do you think? If that was you,
being that. Well, I've been in that situation many a time, being in the public eye. It's hard to find a guy who can actually handle that. I had a guy break up with me over text message, no doubt, because I took a picture with Snoop Dogg when I interviewed him. So he felt I was standing too close to Snoop, and so he broke up with me, which made no fucking sense. So
right.
I encounter, you know, things like that. Quite a bit.
Sound like an idiot to
That's
me.
That's why I always, but it's like I always say that it would take a strong man to be able to handle me and what I do. Because, one, I'm a natural flirt. You guys know this. And, two, it's just me, you know, and if a guy can't handle that, it also goes back to trust. If you don't trust your partner or the person that you're at least dating, then you shouldn't be dating them because that's too much stress, too much worry. You don't need that. And then it's also something that they need to deal with within because that also comes from insecurity, you know, deep within themselves. So if they feel that I'm out of their league and they aren't worthy of me, then don't approach me. And that's how I feel about it. I'm always straightforward when I meet a guy. If I like him, I let it be known that I'm interested, you know, in seeing where things go, if they go anywhere. But I always let it be known that I want to be friends first. And I do that for one reason. Well, two reasons. One reason, because every relationship should have a foundation of friendship. Even if you're not looking for a relationship, you can still be friends starting off. And if something develops from that, then that's fine, you know. And the second thing is that during that friendship phase, it's kind of a test to see how they're like, you know, getting to know that person, their likes, their dislikes, their character, what type of a person they are, you know, because if they don't pass the friendship phase, then they're definitely not going to pass the phase to be a boyfriend or a significant other, you know, it's just not going to happen. So I always say that friendship is the foundation of any relationship, whether it's platonic, romantic, whatever. You have to be friends first. And if you can't consider a person friend, then it's not. Then you don't need them in your life.
Fair enough. I just think about that because so
well said.
You encounter that. And, I mean, like you said, by being up front, there's nothing left uncovered, so people oftentimes think they can deal with it. It's like this, and you said it best, being that, you know, you do something it's public, and you're around people all the time, it does boil down to you have to absolutely be able to trust what that person's going to do. But I tell people all the time, for better or for worse, you don't have to like it, but what I say is, look, you have to, as a man, I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't give a shit about it. I don't trust anything we say or do when it comes to men and women. It boils down to you. If I trust you, I don't care what happens. No one can force you to do anything different. If someone can say or promise anything to you that makes you do something different or leave me, then you weren't mine, so go. But, again, like George said earlier, if somebody's not trying to look at or holler at my woman or whatever, I got the wrong woman. But it boils down to, is she going to take that seriously to heart and go for the upgrade? Which means you've got a lot of, you know, soul searching and things like that to do because what's really going on. But, yeah, I mean, I don't care about that. As long as no one's being inappropriate, that's what's supposed to happen. Everyone likes compliments, and I don't want to call it validation, but you know what I mean. If you're going out, you want to know that, yep, you're on point. You know, you're looking right, you're doing, because contrary to what people say, women say, and men don't say it, I'm doing this for me. You're fucking lying. I hate that term.
So,
I'm doing this for me. You're damn lying.
So,
you want people
right.
to notice you look great.
So,
you know.
Here's an interesting question, though, from, if I say it correctly, Jacinta James. I'm just going to call you JJ. Thanks for listening in tonight. But you see, she said, so you start off as friends, and then it evolves into something more. Are you still being friends after the breakup, or do you kick that part to the curb too? Now, me, myself, I can say I can still be in friends after the breakup because I have female friends now that I've dated that I'm still very good friends with. But we never, you know, it doesn't go beyond that. You know, what was, and what is, you know. I'm the one that I can maintain that type of relationship. Now, for everybody, I'm going to say, I can't say everybody can do that. You know, I have had a relationship that I couldn't do that with. You know, it's been some that once it's done, it has to be all the way done. It ain't no
right.
Still be my friends or none of that shit. I've had some that I just had to cut off, turn it off like a light switch, click, done.
George, let me ask you a question.
You know,
I want to piggyback her question. In a case like that, is it because you made the choice, i.e., you said you can be friends with everybody because it was over? Who ended it, though? Because I guess my question is, if you ended it on your terms, then sure, you're like, yeah, we can be cool because I was done. But if someone ended it when you weren't ready, you're telling me that you can't necessarily be friends, right?
No, not with me. I mean, it depends on the situation. Because if they ended it and I wasn't ready, I can still be friends. You know what I'm saying? I can take it like this. That's like taking one to the chin. That's like taking one to the chin. All right, cool. But you know, we still cool. You my dog, we cool. You know,
right.
I got a couple. I got one like that. You know, but it, like I said, it also depends on the situation. You know what happened? What did you end on? You know what I mean?
Right.
So everything is case by case, you know.
Fair enough.
What about you, JJ? What about you? You asked the question. How about you give us the answer? How do you feel with that?
So I know,
but while we wait,
she's got to type in. So while she's doing that, I'll kick it off and say, honestly, I just kind of describe myself to what I say to you. If I end it and I'm done, then, yeah, I'm more than capable of being friends because whatever the situation, doesn't have to be negative because, as a matter of fact, I'm very happy to say I've had very, very, very few situations that did end negatively. So I can honestly say anybody that was over, it may have taken a while. I will say that it took, you know, we had to go our separate ways, grow a little bit, do whatever, but then you come back together and you go, you know what? You know, I still like who you are as a person. We were cool. I've only honestly started out as being friends with maybe two people, truthfully, maybe two. But I started out just being like we were cool, we were friends. And then, but you're right. That is absolutely the best way to do it. Unfortunately, a lot of times we don't because we're attracted to someone and we're instantly thinking social, sexual, whatever. And then you get to know someone and you go, damn, I'm smack dab in the middle of it and I realize I don't get along with this person. But then you've already got feelings or whatever's going on. But if someone ends it with me, or they go, you know what, and I wasn't ready, then hell no. I'm not going to be your friend because what I'm not going to do is sit there and be the listening ear, the compassionate friend, that good-ass conversation, take you to dinner, and let another man seal the deal, kiss my ass. And I mean that in all sincerity. That's my selfishness. I'm not doing that. But you know what? There are certain friends, there are certain guy friends that do that. I'm not one of them, you know. But if it's mutual, absolutely, because there's nothing like a friend who especially of the opposite sex, but period, who can be real with you because they care about you, and someone who actually says, look, I love you enough to let you go or to let myself step away because we both need X, Y, and Z. I have the ultimate respect for that. But, yeah, me personally, if we were in it like that and I ended it, cool. Yeah, I'm a hypocrite because if you ended it, nope. Nope, not at all. Because I wasn't ready. Let's see what we got here. I'm still friends with most of the guys I've dated, so if we started as friends, that's generally where we ended, even if it took them a while. I can respect that, but the whole taking a while, what I just say? Okay, so if it takes a while, my thing is, I just feel like, and I'm going to say something crazy that's going to throw you guys, I believe it's up to the man. It is strictly up to us whether that is a valid thing. The friendship is valid because we're always thinking one thing. We either want you or we want you back. If you're quote-unquote friends in the friend zone, it's usually out of necessity. It's because you can't go any further. No man has ever woken up and said, damn, I want to be in the friend zone. You got your damn mind. But if we find ourselves there and we're still trying to make a move, we'll ride it out. We can be patient. But is that where we really ultimately want to end up? No, only under two circumstances. One, there's no true physical attraction, which is genuine love, or true, because they're your gay best friend, and it's never going to go any further. And I prove me wrong. It's the truth, because it's the way that we were created. No man is going to love you, love everything about you, want to be tell you how attractive you are and all that, and just want to be your partner. That's not how we're designed. Because guess what? You're still not nearly as good at sports as I am. You're not as good at the dumb man shit that I am. I got homeboys for that. I want you for a specific reason. And if I get 75 to 80% of that, but I don't get the last, I am pissed. So I just, you know, the whole being friends, it's a relative term. It can be done, but reluctantly. What about you, Chris?
Well, with me, I'm friends with the majority of my exes, with the exception of this one set. Other than that, because I have more male friends than female friends. We can definitely still be separate. But yeah, I think that's totally possible. I mean, that's usually how most of my relationships end anyway. And we always, you know, decide to stay friends. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's healthy. And you can never have too many friends. So for me, we would still remain friends. But it has to be mutual. You can't be one person thinking you're friends and the other person throwing salt on your neck. So.
So real quick, I just want to throw it out there to those of y'all listening on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for coming to your show. That portion of our show is ending here in about 5 seconds, and we appreciate your audience, and we'd like for you to come back some other time, next time, next week. Same bad channel, same
Wednesday maybe.
Also, those of you listening on iHeartRadio, yes, we welcome you to come back and see us, listen to us next Wednesday. Same bad channel, same bad time. For those of you listening on Blog Talk and iHeart, y'all have a good night, and we love you. And the rest of you on Facebook and YouTube, we are going to continue the show after the show. This is now officially the show after the show.
Oh. thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. We come to you every Wednesday for your Midweek Motivation. You've been listening to CB and the Boys. I'm CB, and we've got my boys, Roger Hawkins, George Biker Boy Holman. And to end off the night with our Luther Vandross heavenly birthday celebration, here's Luther Vandross and Beyonce and Closer, I Get to You, and that'll be the last song.
The closer I get to you, the more you make me see by giving me all you've got.
Tell me more.
Ooh, yeah, your love has captured me.
My baby, my baby, my love.